Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about the testimony of bread this morning. And it brings to mind a sketch I saw not too long ago from Red Skelton, if anyone remembers him. And Red Skelton was talking about doing the Pledge of Allegiance in the classroom, and the principal came down, and the children were rattling through it. And he said, "I don't think you're thinking about what you're saying." So he went through the pledge phrase by phrase and explained what every phrase meant. And he had them then say the pledge again. Now, that was during Red's school days, and since he was born in 1913, the story goes back probably just about exactly 100 years. But the principle of the story remains. We get used to things, they become familiar to us, we are accustomed, and we take them for granted, we don't think about them. So we have unleavened bread that we take for communion. And by the way, you ladies should feel sorry for my wife, because whenever I get into making unleavened bread, there seems to be a scattering effect of the flour in the kitchen, which causes considerable cleanup later. And I've tried, but I can't really seem to get a lot better. Anyway, so we take communion, we take unleavened bread, which is common knowledge, but there's a vast richness in history there, in symbolism. I'd like to talk a little bit about it today. Now, in Bible times, bread was baked nearly every day. They had no Wonder Bread then. They had no preservatives. And bread was far different than what you buy in the grocery store today. It was actually good and capable of sustaining life. It was all stone ground, whole grain bread. And there was a little stone mill in virtually every house. And that was part of the daily duties. And so leaven was used to make the bread rise. And the leaven was, of course, sourdough leaven. If you go to an upscale restaurant, a lot of times they'll ask you if you want sourdough bread. And what it is dough that's unbaked and has soured. They don't call it spoiled dough bread, but that's really what it is. And so it was added to a lump of new dough. They let it sit. And now the scientists would tell you, in biology, 100 years ago I learned that that was yeast, which reproduced through the bread, emitted carbon dioxide bubbles, and made the bread rise. It changes the culture, it changes the texture and the taste of the bread. And it's esteemed. People like bread that has risen. But if we go back, and this is where we're going to start, to Exodus 12, and we look at verses 14 through 20. This is the beginnings of what the Jews later called the Festival of Unleavened Bread. "Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your house. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them except what must be eaten by every person. That alone may be prepared by you. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations. as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. Notice it's the first month. The month of the Passover was to be the first month. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. So this is the portion where the festival of unleavened bread started. And, of course, it was during this festival of unleavened bread that we find the Last Supper. Now, what can we say about unleavened bread? It's new. It's new by its very nature. No old dough is added to the lump. And so, in the same chapter, Moses gets a command, this is going to be the first month of the year for you. Now, in case you're wondering why they have Rosh Hashanah in the month of September, we can't talk about that a lot, but the month of September, Tishri, was also the new year in Babylon, and I believe that was borrowed during the Babylonian captivity. But I digress. So as each new year is a new beginning, you know, we have New Year's resolutions. We stay up and watch the bell ring at midnight on New Year's, at least some of us do. They were to start with this festival of unleavened bread. And it's a new beginning because God took his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of the house of bondage, into freedom, and gave them the promised land, which, of course, the idea of that is celebrated much later during the festival of Tabernacles. And it's a departure then, departure from freedom or from slavery and an entrance into freedom. They leave Egypt with the idolatry and practices that are in Egypt, and they follow Moses, and at Sinai, Moses will be given the various commandments and the law which they are to follow henceforth. So the old things are done away with. And they're entering into a new way. And so in this way, the unleavened bread is a symbol. And the symbolism is a transition into something new. People who bake sourdough bread, and there's people who do it to this day, might get their starter from someone else. And I've heard conversations between some of them. Oh, this starter is 10 years old. I got it from so-and-so. Or this starter is 20 years old. I got it from so-and-so. Because you use some starter for your new loaf of bread, but you keep some and you add dough to it and let that sour. You have the same culture. You have the same bacteria, the same strain of yeast, if you will. But you have continuity with the past, with this sourdough bread. And so leavened bread can be a symbol of continuity with the past. Unleavened bread is definitely symbolism of a new start, a break from the past. And so the symbolism there is a fresh beginning, a new start, a different thing, if you will. So the former ways have been left behind. And as such, they're not added to the new ways. And so God was specific when he talked about some of the idolatry they brought out of Egypt. He did not want that added to the law that he gave them. And that was a constant theme from the prophets in Israel. Do not add this to what I have given you. And so, in case you think I'm just dreaming this up on my own, I'm going to go over and show you a quote from Paul in Corinthians chapter 5 verses 1-8. This is where Paul is rebuking essentially the tolerance of sin in the church. Okay, there was sin there. They knew about it, they tolerated it. It's actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned. Instead, so that the one who has done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in the body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled and I with you in spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. You're boasting that, oh yeah, we can do with this, we can tolerate this. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So leaven can be a symbol for sin, and that's clear in other places. And we see that Paul, being a Jewish scholar, is aware of the symbolism. He's using it to teach a lesson. And so a small amount of starter, sourdough, spoiled dough, something that's spoiled, is added to a much larger lump of new dough, but the sourdough doesn't stay in its own place and stay separate. Instead, there's a metamorphosis, a change. It spreads through the entire lump, and it transforms the entire lump. It changes the structure and makes the dough rise. And so we have to consider that in this text, the dough that's added has got to be slightly spoiled. Okay? And that dough that's added has to be what? Old. It's got a string of history from spoiled dough that, as I say, some of those batches, some of those cultures, 10 years old, 20 years old, as people share them. So certainly, it's absolutely got to be older than the current batch. And so Paul treats this idea of toleration of sin in the church. And he's complaining, number one, you haven't mourned. If there's a problem in the church, okay, and a problem of some kind in the church is inevitable, the first reaction should be mourning, okay? Right now, today, I am mourning because a good friend of mine, who was a pastor up at Bethel in Jamestown, has fallen into sin and has had to resign his pastorate. And I'm very distressed about this, and talked about it with some of my pastor friends who were at the seminar yesterday, actually, and are more geographically able to reach out to this person and see if they can help him. But if you ask for my first reaction that there was sin over there, first reaction is mourning. It's terrible. And that's an appropriate reaction. He said, you haven't mourned. And you're boasting. If you're boasting, oh yeah, we can deal with this, is not good. And he goes on to say, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And he's telling the church, clean out the old leaven so there can be a new lump, because they are in fact unleavened. And then he goes on to say, Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us, and we need to celebrate the feast, but not with old leaven. We need to celebrate with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now I want to look at those various points, because we all know this text is not really about bread. Okay? Just like the parable about the lost sheep is not about sheep. So a little leaven. Let's talk about that first. Corinth was a very sinful city. There was all kind of pagan temples there, and all kind of sinful activities went on in those temples. And so in Corinth, virtually all of the believers, except for the Jewish believers, had come out of that pagan temple, sinful practices are all mainstream and good, culture. They came out of that to follow Christ. And so the church apparently thought it was okay if they tolerated one of the members falling into sin, but Paul is telling them, look how a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The whole thing has changed. And so a little sin in the church can affect the whole church. The testimony of the church may be damaged. Others may be emboldened to make compromises based on what they see tolerated. And, you know, you have the old saying, well, if he can do it, why not me? Now, Paul goes on to say, clean out the old leaven. It was a yearly event for the Jews. At the Festival of Unleavened Bread, they cleaned out all the leaven. If you were in the home of the ultra-Orthodox for Passover, you would see them take a Q-tip and run it around in the crevices in the refrigerator or a toaster to get every little crumb out that might have been leavened. They clean out the whole house before the Festival of Unleavened Bread. And, of course, that's a commemoration of the transition from slavery to freedom for the Jewish nation. Can't help but wondering if some of the Gentile members might ask, what's this clean out the old leaven? What is this guy talking about? And they probably got an explanation. But it was symbolic and is still symbolic in the Jewish festival, cleaning out the old and baking new. And so Paul is saying that the old leaven, he's equating the old leaven with the old sinful life and sinful practices in Corinth. He says, clean that out. Get rid of it. Even a small amount is going to leaven the whole lump, because the church doesn't follow these ways anymore, and they're teaching their members not to follow these ways anymore. And probably no better example could be made than our American liberal churches that are mixing in various humanistic ideas and practices and tolerating things that a fundamental church, a Bible-based church, would say are sinful. And they're saying, oh, yeah, we can tolerate this. And with Paul, I say, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven will leaven up the whole lump? So clean out the old leaven. Why? That you may be a new lump. So the church, as we compare the church to dough, it should be a new lump, okay? Unleavened. Old things or old ways are not valued, they're not retained, and they're not tolerated. We know that people before they were saved did various things. Okay? If they're saved, they're forgiven. Do we condemn them for what they did before? No. No. Every Christian is a sinner saved by grace. But the pagan, wicked culture of Corinth can't come in and have fellowship with the church. Nor can the pagan, wicked culture in these United States, whether you look at Hollywood or whether you look at popular figures, that culture cannot come in and have fellowship with the church. There's no fellowship between light and darkness. So Paul's going to come back to this point of things that were copied from the Corinthian culture. But the sinful culture of Corinth was to be purged out. Throw it away like you threw away the leaven. And so you might say, why? Why? If grace is everything, if grace is all in all, then why can't I do whatever I please? Because you are unleavened. Paul tells the church, you are unleavened. Elsewhere he's written, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Here he's following his analogy of bread. But he's saying the same thing. Those who have been born again have had their sin forgiven. They've become new. Elsewhere, Paul describes Christians as peculiar people, funny people, odd people, offbeat people, unusual people. Why? Because they're zealous for good works. So there's a sense of newness, a sense of leaving old things behind is symbolized by leaven and making a transition to the new life. Now, many Christians in the American church became saved as teenagers. As such, they didn't have a lot of life behind them. They didn't have a lot of things they left behind. But in Corinth, the vast majority were adults who might have been involved in pagan temples for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. They had a lot of baggage. They had a lot of things to leave behind them. And when people are shaved out of a sinful lifestyle today, they might have a lot of baggage to leave behind them. And so he's telling them, you're a new lump now. You're new. Why? Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. So the Passover was a new life for Israel. The lamb was sacrificed in place of the firstborn in the house, and the firstborn was saved. Our Passover in Christ is a new life for us. Instead of symbolizing a new year or the start of the nation, it symbolizes a new beginning. So someone might say, I was born in 1940, but I was born again in 1950. Because when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, he said, you've got to be born again. If you're not born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. And so our Christian life, the fact that we are a new lump, the fact that we are, in fact, unleavened, is due to the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ on our behalf, for us. And so we celebrate this new life. He says, celebrate. So don't be a gloomy gosh, celebrate. Enjoy your Christian life, but not by use of the old ways. Elsewhere, Paul said, he who stole should steal no longer. Go to work, do something good so you have something to share with someone who's in need. Leave malice and wickedness behind. Celebrate in sincerity and truth. And so in the church, there's not supposed to be malice. Oh, I don't like that guy. I got it in for him. No. So if we turn to the gospel accounts of the Last Supper, we find Jesus and the disciples eating unleavened bread. He broke the bread and blessed it, but he told the disciples, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so, once again, we have the symbolism of unleavened bread. This is my body. Elsewhere he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. But he who eats this bread will live." He told the crowds, "No one puts new wine in old wineskins, because they can't contain it. Nobody puts a patch, a brand new cloth, on an old garment." Once again, like this is not about bread, that was not about wineskins or patching garments. He did not come to patch up what the rabbis were teaching. He did not come to try to contain all his teaching and his gospel within the confines of what Judaism had become at that point in time. It couldn't hold it. Couldn't hold it. He came to bring the law and prophets to completion and fulfill what had been prophesied, and to add his teaching to that particular body of knowledge and to correct where they had gone wrong. And so he became a perfection of what the Old Testament scriptures were teaching. The unleavened bread symbolizes then, and we have some today, a new beginning, a transition, and a break with past practices. His body, which was given for them and for us, is opening a door to access to the Father. Brings us in to the family of God. Makes us brothers and sisters, gives us a piece of the inheritance. In the Roman times, they often would do an adoption. They bring in witnesses, they do an adoption. If someone was getting along in years and maybe didn't have any heirs, and the adoption wasn't generally a small child, it might be an adult, but the whole idea is, I've accumulated all this, who am I going to give it to? I'm going to adopt this person. And so in Ephesians, where it says the adoption of us as children according to the kind intention of his will, it's kind of a slice of that Roman picture of adoption. Why? Because he wants to give us some of the inheritance. So this is what Paul is talking about when he tells the Corinthians they are unleavened. You've already left your past behind when you believed in Christ. Don't go back to it. Leave it back there. Past is past. The reason is clear. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. And he goes on to say, we should celebrate the feast. We should celebrate. Should we be happy as Christians? I say yes. Should we enjoy ministry? I say yes. Yes. We don't celebrate with the old leaven or old ways before we are born again. Neither do we celebrate with malice or wickedness. Those things have no place in the church. Paul tells us to celebrate with the unleavened bread of what? Sincerity and truth. So if you speak to your brother, you should be sincere. If you speak to your brother, you should be truthful. These things are good. And so we celebrate our Christian experience in an appropriate way. So, you know, if you ask people about ministry and, you know, what they're doing, You'll often see in the missionary report, oh, yeah, we had this great victory. we had this person come to Christ, or we're praying for this person, or we've overcome this difficulty, or praise God, we have this open door opportunity. And so in all of that, you see a string, you see a thread of celebration. Hey, this is what we're doing. And essentially, you know, we're doing what we want to do. You talk to Fred Whitman, he's an American citizen. He can retire here in America. He's going to retire in Italy. He's going to stay in Italy. I mean, that's his field, essentially. It's become his home. And his children are there working as well. So as we turn now to what we've been talking about this whole time, the Lord's Supper, we're going to take a moment for silent prayer, and then we're going to go into Luke chapter 22 and look at this. Now, the elements are back on the table. If anybody doesn't have it, just raise your hand, it'll be brought to you. Let's pray.